Good morning, everybody. And a warm welcome to you all, including those listening at home. If we have any visitors, please make yourselves known to us. For those of you listening at home, the service is being led by Robert, and Jeff is playing the organ. Our reader this morning is David Bevan. Before I light the Christ candle, I'd like to welcome Maria back from her trip to Africa and to assure her that we are continually praying for her brother, who is quite seriously ill at the moment. And it's also a joy to see Tom here. He's quite often in our thoughts, even though he's a long way away. So we do welcome you back. It's lovely to see you, and we look forward to hearing you singing today. I haven't any other notices, so I will now light the Christ candle, and we will have a moment of quietness to prepare for our thoughts for worship.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I've got a spasm on my back, so excuse me if so every so often I turn one way or another, try and avoid the pain. Good to see you. It's lovely to be back together. I was warned during the week that there is a certain football match on this morning which may affect up to a point our attendance today. If you know of anybody watching the football match or wanting the service to finish at a time you know it will not finish, because the football match starts at 11, do send them our best wishes. We are grateful to God to be able to gather for worship, to be together, to learn, to be challenged, and eventually leave to share who we are and what we are. From Isaiah 56, thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. And this is the promise of God, that there is nobody who is not welcome to be part of God's people. And this is something we celebrate and hope to live in what we do, say, and think day by day. Amen. All our singing this morning is from Rejoice and Sing, so let us rejoice and now sing. Hymn 269 to start with, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun, and even behind the clouds, if that is the case.
Thank you.
when we gather for worship, we come being the people we are, with our hopes, with our expectations, with our pain, with our frustration, with what we would like to be and aren't yet, and also with who we merely are. And we come knowing that God welcomes the people of God. And the biggest surprise of all is that the people of God are more than what we will ever imagine, in places that we can't even imagine. And we are loved. So we come with prayer of thanksgiving and confession, and we end with the Lord's Prayer all together. Let us pray. We are your daughters and your sons, your children. We are the family that you have created. And as in every family, there are those that make us laugh. There are those who can sometimes infuriate us. There are those who have the words of wisdom. There are those who never know when to keep quiet. There are those we love unconditionally. There are those who love us beyond all measure. We don't have to be perfect. We are who we are. And as that famous poet and song singer Leonard Cohen said, it's through the cracks that the light gets in. That you can use everything we are to affirm that which is valuable in life. So we thank you. We thank you for the talents that you've distributed far and wide, and for those who believe that what they do, which is so wonderful for others, is no great thing. But when we are on the receiving end of the love and the kindness, it means so much. We thank you for those who know exactly what to say and when to say it and make a difference to our life. We thank you for the bonds that bring us together over time and space. We thank you, O Lord, that we have this place where we can gather for worship without fear. We thank you for those who have come before us and opened our a way for us, and for us here today, that we may see ourselves as opening doors and windows and opportunities for those who will come after us. We thank you for music and poetry and paintings, those that move us deeply and help us to encounter you a different way. Dear God, the God of the open arms, ready to welcome us but also encourage us to live the open lives where we are, the mender of broken ways, the healer of lives that are in pain. Remind us of who we are. Remind us of what you have promised. And speak to us. But also forgive us. Forgive us for vanity and pride, which breaks possibilities. For those that believe that they are better than everybody else. Forgive us when we become insensitive to the needs of others and not interested in their lives. Forgive us when we overlook those who are in pain. Forgive us when we try and make everybody to look like us and think like us, not giving them the opportunity of helping us understand them. Forgive us, O Lord, all that it, through words and silences, denies the beauty of who you are. Forgive us. Forgive us for what we recognize, and forgive us for what we have so ingrained in our life that we don't even realize needs forgiving. Speak to us and give us the opportunity not only to hear, but to discern your calling. Forgive us. As you run towards us with open arms, speaking our name and reminding us that we are your children, that having been forgiven, we may forgive and live the peace of the new opportunities that you have prepared for us. To you be the glory forever and ever. And as we, your children gathered here today, can say together that which makes us family when we call you Father. So we say together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time of the service, we share what we have been able to set apart from all that we have received. Our time, our talents, our possessions belong to God, and we give to God so that God may use in this world. Let us share the offering. Bless the offering and bless our lives, now and always. Amen. And we share the words of the grace to each other.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all.
15, verses 21-28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, David. Look, the first weekend after your holiday, and you're back reading. Thank you very much. Having heard the word, we prepare for the reflection, singing the words of hymn 583, which reminds us that the church is wherever God's people are praising. Let us sing these words as we sing them. Helps us become better people so the world may be a better place. We pray for this now. Amen. This is one of the unexpected passages in the Gospel, and a truly challenging passage. It is so different from most other Gospel passages we have read, because we will never, ever come across another Jesus moment as this one. Years back, I think it was in the second church where I was a minister, I said, "This is one of those moments I feel embarrassed with Jesus." Crumbs, at the end of the service, you can't imagine how they came at me. So I'm ready ever since then, just in case you disagree. But it is a difficult reading to cope with Jesus. Just before this reading, immediately before this, we hear that the Pharisees, well, they got offended with Jesus. So much so that the disciples come up to him and say, "Hey Jesus, do you realize you've really offended them?" And we all know those were the virtuous and righteous. They knew the right way and the correct things. If they felt offended, you had to be very careful with the Pharisees. Yes, once again, Jesus had said something that those who consider themselves the pure of society felt upset. But it didn't upset Jesus that much. And then we get to the reading today. We hear that Jesus has left the area, not only left the area, but walked miles out of the area. He heads way up north to Tyre and Sidon, to Phoenicia. And those are the people that really travel the world. And it's interesting that in Galicia, in the north of Spain, there is a... it's not what you would call a lighthouse, because it's built by the Phoenicians. They, as different from the Jews, they loved the sea and the water and traveled far and wide. The Jews were terrified of water, absolutely. And we saw that in the last 2 weeks, remember, Jesus walking on the water and Peter sinking and things like that. They were terrified. Phoenicians went far and wide, and in the north of Galicia, there's this fantastically old, let's give it the name, lighthouse, which people still walk up to. They got way out of their comfort zone. And Jesus now is way out of the accepted territory of safety. This is no longer the land of Israel. Everybody in this story today is, by definition then, a foreigner and a stranger. They're all out of their own land. We are told of this woman from Canaan, again, way out of her comfort zone, way out of her territory, asking Jesus for her daughter, who is horribly demon-possessed. No surprise there. How many times have we read before of people coming up to Jesus, "Cure my son, cure my daughter, help me." The woman who was ashamed of even getting up to Jesus, who merely touched his gown. And just think of it. How many times has Jesus been stopped on the way and said, "Can you do something for me? Can you do something for others?" So we're not surprised. So far, so good. This is just another gospel story. But there is something different here. Jesus so far has always responded to the needs of those who have asked for help. Much against everybody's wisdom, he was in close contact with everybody who came up to him. And Jesus, being Jesus, had always responded, generously responded. So for some reason, we will never, ever, ever understand this time Jesus does not respond. Why? So much so that the disciples say, "Get rid of her. She's being a real pest. She won't stop coming after us, asking you for help. Tell her to go away. Get rid of her, please." And this is where we expect Jesus to turn around and say, "Hey, quit that. That's not the way my disciples speak to these people. She's calling for help." Remember another time he said, "You help them." That's when the disciples said, "Well, we can't. We're trusting you to do it." Jesus of the abundant grace does not rebuke the disciples. Why does Jesus this time do this? What happened? What makes this time different? And if you're going to sit there holding your breath for the next few minutes, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what makes this different. I don't know why Jesus does what he does. It was Jesus' choice to go to this part of the world, out of his usual territory. In that case, the woman is probably less of a foreigner there than what Jesus is. Because she was a Canaanite, and you know that in the land of Israel, those weren't very welcome. So Outside of there, she was just as much a foreigner as anywhere else, but... And she does have a genuine issue, doesn't she? She's asking for her daughter. She's not asking for herself. Remember, it was the children that Jesus said, for such as these is the kingdom of heaven. So if she'd heard Jesus ever say that, she sort of had a right to go up and Jesus say, do something about, help her. Help her. Then Jesus says, I have only come for the lost sheep of Israel. And where does he say this? In Phoenicia. How many lost sheep of the house of Israel are there? And since when, Jesus, have you used the word only? I don't get it. Honestly, so far, I'm not getting it. Come on. That's not what we're expecting from you. Let's be honest. Let's speak to Jesus. Are you truly expecting him to behave as what you've seen so far in the reading? How many times has Jesus already reached out to all those who were not the sheep of the house of Israel? The reading from the prophets today is from Isaiah 56, and that's where I started the service. I will gather others from the outcasts of Israel to those who have already been gathered. But that's 700 years before Jesus. So he's not inventing anything new. And then he turns to the woman and he pronounces the most offensive words I have ever heard Jesus speak. They're still shocking today. I find them on the verge of unacceptable. But then, who am I to declare that Jesus has said something unacceptable? Well, I've just heard him say it. Correct me, Jesus. And I'm not defying him, I'm just saying, I need to understand. This mother is desperate. She has just been declared a no one. And in the world today, there are so many who have been declared no ones. But clearly, she is not willing to accept this at all. And thank goodness, she is continuing in her case. She's not going to be quiet. She keeps on saying, Lord, help me. And then it gets even worse. It's not fair to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Not give it to the dogs. Throw it to the dogs. Now, there should be a note in most of our Bibles that say this does not apply to people in England the same way as it applies to everybody else. Because, you all know, I grew up in Argentina, but one of the things you heard in Argentina was English people love their dogs more than their children. I don't know if that's 100% true, but it sort of explained the issue. Dogs is those we love. And my respects to Mortimer sitting there. This is, he comes out well in the story. But if... dogs. Well, biblically, dogs were not loved. And this is from a biblical dictionary. To be called a dog was to be associated with evil and low status. So that is what he is saying to the woman. I can't take the food for the children of Israel that I have come for and give to the dogs. I can't give miracles to you that are only for the house of Israel. And if you just start going back to the beginning of the gospel, how many times has he done this before? Why is he saying this? This woman has been addressed in probably the most offensive way the gospel can ever imagine. And she is not going to take it. She fights back. She does not say to Jesus, I'm not a dog. She just points out that even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So for her daughter, she will take the offense that's been thrown at her. She's not even trying to correct him. But she says, you can't deny the dogs the crumbs. And that is the turning point of the whole story. I've once heard somebody correct me and say, he was only trying her out, testing her. Give me another time where Jesus tested somebody and didn't give them what they were asking for. When did Jesus say, if you give the right answer, then I'll do something for you? When did he do that? He corrected this woman, but he didn't do it to anybody else. So that's not his style. All she's asking for in the end are the crowns. And this is the moment that Jesus changes. If you ask some experts in the Bible, they will tell you, at the risk of losing their head under the axe of certain do-gooders and always right-gooders that there are in the world around, Jesus has been converted. But people say Jesus can't be converted. He's the Son of God. He's never mistaken. But it is clear in this reading that Jesus has listened to the woman and has understood things in a different way. Can we say that Jesus has been taught a lesson? I don't know, but it's worth a try. He recognizes what this woman has said, and he responds. Not chucking her out, not telling the disciples to take her out of the building, of the house, of the church, lock the door on her, because she has offended the tradition. He now accepts that standing before him is a person who is in need, a person who is asking for somebody else. And he turns around and says to her, great is your faith. How has she gone from being what she was to the person whose faith is great? That was good. I like this, Jesus. But then he adds, let it be done as you wish. And just in case anybody had been feeling that up until now Jesus was being finally what the Pharisees wanted him to be, he's just become what we need him to be. Let it be done as you wish. That's all. And the Bible reading finishes, and the daughter was instantly healed. This was a comment. This is not Jesus' words. He says, let it be done as you wish. He doesn't even say, now your daughter is healed. It is the gospel writer who adds those words, so that there is no doubt. 20 centuries later, here we are. We don't use the word Canaanite anymore. We don't try and offend people by calling them dogs. We've created other words, equally offensive. But let's use the biblical vocabulary for the last 2 minutes I have. Who would we call dogs today? Who would we define as Canaanites? What other offensive words can we use? Because these people, this woman, still stands at the door of the disciples and of Jesus, challenging the church. Who are the ones that we should be telling, stop pestering us, go away, be quiet? Do you know what the answer is? There is nobody that fits into that category. Biblically, there is nobody that fits into that category. If there's something we have learned from Jesus, is the openness and generosity by which he attends to every call. This is why I don't understand this reading. But instead of trying to understand it, I'm going to what actually happens. Jesus somewhere, somehow, is changed in this reading from what he was at the beginning of the reading. Not at the beginning of the gospel, at the beginning of this passage. 8 verses. From the one that says, I've only come for the house of Israel, to saying, I can't feed the dogs what is for the children, to saying, Your faith is immense. You get what you want. That is why the table of communion is open to all who feel they would like to participate, to all who recognize their need, to all who are hungry and thirsty. We simply say, come and eat, come and drink. What happened this time in the reading? Well, probably no more or less than Jesus being challenged and was able to change the way he had expressed himself. All I can say to us here gathered today and to those who will listen to the service, if Jesus is able to do that, aren't we supposed to do it as well? I have more questions than answers today, but the questions are probably the most important questions I have faced for a long time. May God give us the grace to discover how we too can go from probably having said the wrong thing to suddenly saying, your faith is great. Welcome. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Tom is with us today, and we were promised at the beginning of the service that he was going to sing. And it's true. You're always welcome to come, Tom. Do you remember the days you were little, Tom? Do you remember that? That's good to remind you of it. All the way from Canterbury. Look, the thing that people pilgrim to Canterbury, and you were pilgrimaging to Swindon. I mean, if you told that people centuries ago, they wouldn't have believed you. He is going to sing a setting of Be Thou My Vision. Try and connect the words of what Tom is going to sing to us with the vision that Jesus is for us in encountering the people we encounter. Tom, thank you. Thank you, Jeff, for your company. In a few moments, as the gathered children of God, we will celebrate communion. And you've often heard me say this, but just think of those who sat round that first table. The person who had already sold him, the one who was willing to give his life, but didn't take long to deny him 3 times, and we are told that he does this using very unbiblical language. The one that was totally sure until he wasn't sure, and when offered the wounds, ran a mile from confronting his own doubts with the wounds. And yet, each and every one of them sat round that table and ate from the bread and the cup. And over the centuries, the church would have probably not allowed them to sit round the table. And if that had continued, none of us could do it. But Jesus did it. He even instructed the seller to do what he had to do, but they'd already eaten. I don't think any of us qualifies exactly for all that, but we are who we are, and we are invited to eat and to drink. Come to this table not because you must, because you may. Not because you are strong, but come because you feel weak. Come not because any goodness of yours gives you the right to come, but simply because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Here is the table. We are gathered at this meal, the foretaste of things eternal. So even if you are slightly fearful, be made new in love. Even if you have your doubts, be made strong in faith. With your regrets, come, and you will be made whole. Come, old or young, because you know what? There is room for us all. We prepare singing hymn 448.
Thank you.
lots of times life is hard. So often for the lives of many in this world, the path has pain in it. All of us need to know that we won't be alone. We need to know that there will be light in our shadows, a door that is open, a table that is set, someone offering us part of a loaf and a cup from which we can drink, a song, a story that will revive our flagging hearts, a safe refuge at the time we are living. Dear friends, you have come to that place. Here Christ awaits for you and welcomes you without a question. The table is set and you are invited. So come, let yourselves be cared for. Let yourselves be fed by this our tender friend. We joined in a hymn preparing for this moment. Jesus, we remember what you told us to become. Heal us and justice makers. Prayers and creators. Lovers and helpers. Blessers and blessings. Repenters and second chances. Give us and forgive us. Spiritual and earthly. We remember that you told us to be light and salt, children you born and reborn. And we remember in silence the unique becoming you will through each of us at this time. We recognize we have not yet become. We are not yet what you had hoped us to be. So here we are. Our hands open, our throats dried. Here we are for our filling and quenching and becoming. With all your people down through the ages and everywhere in the world today who approach you hoping to be made better, please God, give us this bread. Once you told a room full of not yet finished believers and unbecoming becomers that you yourself were the healing they did not know they needed. Once you blessed and broke and shared and sent yourself in the midst. Renew that work for us now. Do not leave us without the consolation of a spirit more powerful than your own to grant this bread to remedy, this drink to balm, this prayer to antidote. And this, the people we are, against the evils that stalk the world today. Lord, you took the bread and you took the cup. And you dedicated them so that they would become new. And you broke the bread and share the cup. And to all those you invited to join at this time, you remind us, and will continue to remind all people that the invitation is to eat and to drink. And in doing so, give the newness we are called to be a new opportunity. So you're invited where the bread and the cup is taken to you, to take and hold until we have all received so that we can eat together, and then take the cup and hold until we have all received so that we can drink together. Lord, feed us now. take and eat, and truly do this in remembrance of him. And after he had eaten, the cup was shared. Let this remembering and sharing and proclaiming and feeding be the way we become healers and justice makers, those who pray and co-creators, lovers and helpers, blessers and blessings, repenters and second chances, givers and forgivers, spiritual and earthly, soul to light, childlike and newborn. And if, after a time, it turns out that we still aren't quite what you had hoped, dear God, then bring us back here again, and again, and again, until we become what you want us to be. Amen. Hymn 371. Shall we sing first two and last two verses? Is that okay, Jeff? No? We sing them all. We sing them all. Thank you.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you taught us to pray not only for ourselves, but for people everywhere. Hear us as we now pray for others in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters throughout this world, for those living in countries at war, countries under the threat of invasion or war, for refugees, for the displaced and homeless, for those who face any form of discrimination, rejection or exclusion, especially when we are all meant to be equal together. We pray for the peacekeepers, for aid and medical workers. If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbours. If there is to be peace between neighbours, there must be peace in the home. If there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. O Lord, we pray for guidance of our stewardship of this planet, that we may always remember we can take a part in preventing degradation and promote healing ways to benefit us all and future generations to come. God of blessings, deepen our gratitude for all you have made and awaken us a renewed commitment to care for the earth and each other. Inspire leaders with openness to listen to those most affected by climate change, and with courage to act urgently and wisely, so that our common home may be healed and restored, and all people and generations to come may delight in it. We pray for our country, our town, and all those in authority who govern. We pray for the church, especially here in Old Town and Highworth. We pray for our minister, Robert, for the elders, and all those who ensure we have and are a church together. Lord, bless all those who govern. Give them wisdom and foresight for the wider good of all. In a few moments of silence, we pray for those known to us who are sick or worried, those waiting for results or operations. Gracious God, we pray for the ill, the lonely and distressed, especially those tormented by the demon of mental illness. We pray for healing and wholeness in their lives, and we pray too for all those who provide unstinting care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, remember the souls of your servants now fallen asleep and for those who are saddened by their passing. Be with their bereaved in their loneliness and give them the faith to look beyond their present troubles to your Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and who live forevermore. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father God, be with us and direct us to be reliable and honest in all what we do, and friendly to all we meet in our daily lives. Help us always to give the best, to work to our fullest, and never be ashamed to confess your name. In our leisure and sports, help us to play hard, but play fair. Help us to win without boasting, and to lose graciously without making excuses. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, be with us, Lord. Remind us that Sunday is not the only day we are with you and can shine out your glory in the world. Forth in thy name, O Lord, we go, our daily labours to pursue. Thee, only thee, resolve to know in all we think or speak or do. Amen.
And our closing hymn before the blessing is hymn 463. Now let us from this table rise, renewed in body, mind, and soul. With Christ we die and live again. His selfless love has made us whole. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.